Praise the Lord. Well, we want to remind you this morning that we do not pass an offering plate here, but there is a box in the back. And as God has blessed you, you bless us, we can bless others, and we appreciate your faithfulness in giving. We also want to remind you of the honor gift from last week for Mike and Judy McClard. Double honor. Mike's been associate pastor here for some time and is retiring from that position. He's not going anywhere, but he's going to step aside from that position and just enter a new season of his life. And we want to honor them. And in September, they're taking a trip to Colorado as a couple, and we want to pay for that trip. So mark your gift in the memo. Just say Mike and Judy McClard, and we'll put it towards that trip. I'd like for there not just to be enough to pay for the trip, but more, so they can do some extra stuff. Wouldn't that be great? And we want to bless them. So please, if you haven't done that already, and if you don't have anything right now, but you'll have something in the future, just write it on a piece of paper, slip it in the box, and we'll take care of that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, how's the church been this week? Yeah, has it been a good week? Yeah, it's been a great week, hasn't it? Praise the Lord. I want to introduce you to some friends of mine. This is my sister, my oldest senior sister. She's the matriarch of our family. She's 11 months older than me. You say, how's that possible? Well, my twin brother and I, we were born 7.5 months premature. My sister was 11 months old at the time. It was Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, right? Three kids in diapers. How wonderful was that? And so this is my sister, Dorothy, who I love with all my heart. And this is my youngest sister, Joyce, who you've heard me talk about. She is the anointed one in our family. Remember the hairbrush story? Remember that story? That's the one right there. In fact, Joyce worked for State Farm, my competitor, for years, and she was an underwriter in Seattle. And I called her one day on the phone. I left a message. Hey, Mrs. Ramsdale, this is Joe Voss in Wichita, Kansas, with Farmers Insurance Group. We got your resume, and we love it. And in fact, we think we can do better for you in salary if you'd be interested in moving to Kansas. You give me a call, 316-722-142. Well, it was 3 days. I never heard a word. And then my sister called me after three. Did you swear? I think you did a swear word, did you? I think you did. And I knew something was up because I never hear her swear. And she wanted to know what in the world I thought I was doing. I said, well, why? She said, well, I've been sick for 3 days. And I got back to work today and everybody's treating me coldly. And just before lunch, my boss called me in the office and wanted to know how I was feeling. And she said, I'm feeling good. He said, are you feeling well enough to move to Kansas? She said, well, why would that be? And he pushed the record button. It was me. And she said, well, that's my brother. He's a kidder, you know. So she said, you almost cost me my job. But then they made you sign a paper, wasn't it, about conflict of interest. Because I work for a competitor, so she had to sign it every year, sign a paper that she would not share the top secrets of State Farm Insurance with me. Not that she knows any. Now, when she was in Seattle, she had a position. How'd you like to have this job? Her responsibility was Hawaii. Somebody's got to do it. She had to fly there periodically. She hated it because she hates flying. It's probably why they gave her the job, don't you think? Me, I'd be going, I got to go check up on Hawaii, you know. They need me. So we're glad to have them here with us this weekend. We're having a great time together. I want to introduce you to Mike and Cindy Houston and Alex. Mike is just a precious friend of mine, and Cindy from Valley Center days, ministering there together, and have been on a journey ever since, like the rest of us, and still are. And Mike is incredible on the keyboard, and Cindy, they own Garden Music. Down on, if you've ever been down there on West Street. So if you need music lessons or you need to buy some music equipment, that's the place to go right there. And they love the Lord. I'm sorry? Central. Okay. Thank you for keeping me straight. I also see Gary and Debbie Taylor in the back. Raise your hand and wave. Debbie was my Donna for years. And I just love them so much, and they honor me by being here today. And we've been together for many years in Valley Center, sitting right next to my neighbors, Fred and Linda, who have been coming here for a little while. And we just love them. We're glad you're here and part of the body of Christ. And we just want to welcome you all for being here today. Maybe you're a guest, And we just want you to know we don't take your attendance here for granted, and we hope the Lord will minister to you today. We always talk about the church outside the walls every week. We like to show a picture because really the church is not here. The church is after you leave here, right? That's where cool stuff really happens. This is great. I love it. In a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the importance of this that we do here, this thing we do on Sunday. But really, what it really does is prepare us for as we leave. And here's a picture of someone for the early service, but you'll know that's Nancy Colon on horseback. But guess where she is? Just last week, she was in Costa Rica. And she was there ministering at a missions facility there where her dad ministered over 10 years ago. And he's been gone now, and this is the first time she ever got to go back and walk the steps that he walked. And she's going to be writing some stuff about that, just in some incredible stories. So we're just excited about that. Well, this morning we're going to continue. I know we're a little later than normal, but we wanted to hear from the kids today. But I'll move through this quickly. In your bulletin is an insert that you can follow along with us as we continue to talk about discovering our spiritual DNA. Our spiritual DNA, it's what makes us who we are. It's what makes us unique. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says that we are to present our bodies to God. Hey. I don't know why God would want this, but he says he does. He said he wants my body. Amen. But what's he say? That we present it to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. How many of you feel you meet that requirement? Nobody? See, it's not your holiness, it's God's holiness. He has prepared you and made you acceptable by this precious gift of atonement, that we not be conformed to this world, but we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You see, we're going to live in a way, and God has called us in a way, that we live different. We live in a way that sets us apart from what is the normal that we see around us. I'm talking about at work, at school, in your home, at play, wherever you might be, even at church. God wants us to live in a way not to be conformed to the world. We're not like the world, but we are transformed. We're going to be different. And this morning, we're going to look at a gift that God has given to us to help us. It's part of our DNA. And if you can apply it in your life, it'll affect everything. It'll affect the way you think, the way you see things. It's going to affect the way you respond to life. In fact, when everyone else is screaming at the top of their lungs on the roller coaster of life, and you know what that's like, right? As you're getting ready to go over that next big hill, and everybody else is like, freaking out, not you, because you're going to live in a different way. And so we're going to be looking at Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Philippians, the fourth chapter, where the Apostle Paul declared to us the truth that we're going to consider today. And what he's about to share with us, at first glance, I know what you're going to feel. When I read it, I feel this way. Say, man, Pastor, that's just unnatural. In fact, it's not realistic at all. It's just not realistic. In fact, I would even say it's impossible. There's no way that we could do that. What words did he say? He said, and remember, he wrote this from prison. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. If you didn't hear me the first time, he said, this is how important it is. I'm giving you a double here. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. You say, wow, I don't mind that exhortation, but I don't like that word always. How about you? Always. Rejoice always. I believe that if we can get a hold of this morning, it can change everything about your life. But here's the reality. God wants you, I believe, to be full of joy. He was walking with his disciples one day, and it's recorded for us in John 15. They were probably in a vineyard somewhere, because Jesus often used the familiar to teach the unknown. And he probably said to them, you see that vineyard over there? You see those vines over there? That's like you and me. I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to bear much fruit. He was describing to them what their relationship was going to be like and what our relationship is like today. And then he concluded with these words in verse 11 that we have on the screen. He says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Amen. Jesus is declaring his intention for us. And he's echoing the words of Paul, isn't he? He said, listen, I'm going to give you some joy. And here's the cool part. This joy, and you can put this in your bulletin insert, this joy is going to remain with you. It's not something that we're going to go in and out of. One day we got it, the next day we don't. He says, I want you to live in this joy, and it's my joy, and I'm going to give it to you. And if you'll receive it, then your joy will remain full. I kind of compare that to the gas gauge on my car. How about you? Amen? I believe God wants you to be on full today. Now, how many of you, we were talking about this in early service, how many of you fill up your car at half tank? Do you do that? That's me. Oh, a few of you. Okay, good. Hey, knuckle bump. Listen, I'm always amazed at people who run out of gas. How do they do that when you have a gas gauge? I mean, when it gets close to E, that's a good... I had a lady tell me once, well, I'd run fine for 3 days on E, not a problem. I don't know what happened, just stopped you. Well, hey, there's a reason that's in there when you get down towards E. You're supposed to... I like to fill up at a half a tank. I think that's a good practice. And if you'll do, just pretend half is empty, right? And you'll just be fine. I believe God doesn't want you... He wants you to spiritually to have a full tank all the time. And he wants it to be full of joy. That's God's desire for us. Man, now some of us, however, we have a problem in that we kind of fake this thing, right? We fake it. Yeah, it's called pretending to have joy. You pretend to be full of joy, right? You know what I'm talking about. Like, you just got this personality. I'm just full. But really, you're not full of joy. You've got these issues inside your life. You're anxious. You know, you've got stress. There's no peace in your life. But you don't want anybody to think that. You want them to think you're full of joy. Is that right? Or maybe you're like this. I mean, this is, I relate to this. Sometimes you just think, man, I'm just doing all I can do just to keep it above the E mark, all right? I'm giving everything I got. And sometimes there are things that happen to you in your life that just suck that joy right out of your life. Is that true? Things that happen, there's tough times, I'm telling you. I lost one of my best friends this week, Bill Eichelberg. Chaplain Bill passed away Saturday morning. We're going to have his funeral next Saturday. I went to his wife's house, and we prayed together. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how she feels? But I sensed while I was there with her that there was joy in her life. But she was not happy. See, there's a difference. Happiness depends on what's happening. But joy is something deep within you that's always there. In fact, it'll remain there all the time, right? This week, Andalyn Bailey was at the dentist. How'd you like to have this experience right here? She had 6 teeth pulled this week. Now, that'll take you down to the E mark, right, pretty quick, right? It would for me. But, you know, in difficult times, the joy is still there, isn't it? And I like the story of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, they just finished building the wall. And listen, they were in a beat-down mode. Things were not going well for them, but they pushed through, they leaned into it, and they were able to accomplish the task. And then Nehemiah called everybody together, and he was going to read to them from the law, and he read this. He said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In the midst of their beat down moment, the joy of the Lord is what made them strong. It wasn't their strength, it was God's strength. In Acts, the 20th chapter, the Apostle Paul, he's on his way to Jerusalem. There's prophecy that comes forth, not the kind you like to hear. The prophecy says, hey, listen, some bad times are waiting for you. In fact, chains await you. Suffering awaits you. And what is his reply? He says, none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with what? Joy. Joy. You see, man, I want some of that joy. Where do you get that joy? Well, the psalmist said in Psalm 16, verse 11, for you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. It didn't go to that scripture. There we go. There it is. In your presence is fullness of joy. Where do you get the joy of the Lord? You get it from being in God's presence. Is that right? I believe quiet time is important. I believe that's a time where God renews that joy. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Everybody wants that. It comes from the Spirit of God. And what's it say? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. And there it is. Joy. Joy. God wants us to be full of joy. How many... are you in agreement with that today? It is God's will that you be full of joy, that you remain in His joy, and that your joy remain full. It's God's will that everything we do come out of the Spirit of joy. In fact, if you're being drawn into something, the first thing you want to look for is look at the joy gauge. Is there joy in this? Or somebody sharing something with you? If there's no joy, you need to go the other way. Because Jesus said, out of this relationship, you're going to have a fullness of joy. Now, this morning, just real quickly, I want to go through 7 joy suckers, okay? 7 joy suckers. I showed this picture to my granddaughter this week. I said, how many fingers does he have? He has 5. I said, no, he doesn't. She said, yes, he does. I said, count them. So she, 1, 2, 3. She goes, oh. She said, that's not natural. I said, that's right. But there's 7. If we had 7, but we're going to have to go like this today, right? Here's 7 things you want to watch out for in your life. Can we run through them real quickly? I think we could do it in the time we have. So here's the first one, and they're all in Philippians 4. First verses 1-3. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. I implore Yodia and Syneke to be of the same mind in the Lord. What was going on? There was conflict in the church, right? We don't know about that here at this church. It's other churches, right? We don't ever have conflict here. Hey, let me tell you, you're always going to have conflict. You're going to have conflict in your marriage. You're going to have wherever there are people, there will be conflict. But be careful how you respond to the conflict, because that conflict can suck that joy right out of your life. And that's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want us to minister with joy. He doesn't want us to walk in joy. And so conflict is one of the ways, I believe, that he can bring disunity in the body. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, do not be ignorant of his devices. We have to understand whenever there's conflict, and I don't care where it is, and you're going to have it. In fact, Proverbs says, the threshing floor is clean only where there are no oxen. All right? So wherever there's oxen, there's going to be a mess, right? We're going to have to clean. It's just that way in relationships. The important thing is that we understand that what's at work spiritually. My Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Do you believe that? Then why do you do it? I believe it, but I still do it. Sometimes I just have to stop for a minute. Wait a minute, Joe. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Listen, it's not people. But the enemy tries to stir the church up. What is it he wants from us? He wants your joy. He wants your joy. And we don't have to give it to him. Here, read on. What's he say? And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, for the Lord is at hand. All right, there we go, verses 4 and 5. Listen, wherever there's a lack of grace and patience and Paul's trying to tell him in this conflict of disunity, this is a key in relationships. We need to have this attitude that is known to all men, this attitude of gentleness, this attitude. Some translations will say moderation. I don't know what yours says, but what he's trying to say is that there is this attitude that we have in the church that will be known to all men. It's not hidden. Everyone can see it. And it's obvious. And people are going to watch us. It's the opposite of a harsh spirit. Do you know people who have harsh spirits? I do. Are they in the church? Yeah. Listen, tell me, is it right? They have no joy. There's no joy in their life. They have this harshness about them. The word moderation means forbearance, patience, gentleness, yieldedness. Listen, every time you have a disagreement, it does not have to be Custer's last stand. You know what I mean? Like, I see people wanting to die on hills that are just silly. Why do we do that? Listen, what's at stake? It's the enemy trying to stir us up. What's he want? He wants your joy. He wants your joy. Those who walk in such a place, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, it's my way or the highway. They never have joy in their lives. They're always f- full of stress and anxiety. That's not the way God has called us to live. Now, this next one you know well, right? This is one of our favorite scriptures. Verses 6 through 7, number 3, he says it's about anxiety and prayerlessness. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In my observation, in my own life, okay, let me just talk about me. Whenever I find that whenever there's anxiety in my life, oftentimes there's prayerlessness too. It's just true. See, well, you're the pastor. You shouldn't have that problem. Well, I do. Sometimes I get anxious about things. And you know what? And I find in the midst of that, I begin to draw away from God instead of going to Him. And all of a sudden, I find I'm not spending time in prayer. And guess what happens? My joy is gone. So the first thing I need to do is go to God. See, it's not that you're not going to be anxious. How many of you get nervous when you read that scripture? Be anxious for nothing. Oh, man, there must be something really bad wrong with me. Because I'm anxious. Hey, I get anxious too. What I think what Paul's trying to say is when you do become anxious, here's what you need to do. You need to take your burdens to the Lord. Roll them over on Him. He cares for you. Let your requests be made known to God. With what? What's it saying there? You got your Bible in your lap? It says, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. See, I find that most joyful people who have the joy of the Lord, they're very thankful people. People who are not thankful, they don't have joy in their life. God wants you to be thankful. He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to come to Him with that spirit of dependence, rolling your cares over on Him. And what's going to happen? He's going to set up a garrison of peace around your heart and your mind. Who needs that today? Man, I need that. God, I find that if people are not at peace, there's no joy. Whenever there's joy, there's peace. Whenever there's peace, there's joy. They go together, don't they? Daniel slept in the lion's den. How many of you would have slept in the lion's den? Not me. I'd have been up all night watching them things, wouldn't you? Man, I don't know about that. What would make him sleep in the lion's den? How about Jesus? He slept in the boat in the middle of the storm when the disciples were freaking out. Listen, I don't know if I'd have been sleeping in that storm. Peter slept in prison the night before they're going to cut off his head. When the angels came, they had to, hey, wake up. Well, I wouldn't have been awake. You wouldn't have had to wake me up. I'd have been wide awake, man. This is my last night on planet Earth. What brought them to that place? I believe they had a level of peace that comes through a spirit of joy. It's an inner joy. It's not about what's happening to you. In Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. How about number 4? Oh, any of you have this problem? Hey, I saw you nudge. Don't do that. Okay. Hey, he's talking about you. Negativity. How many of you just gravitate to the negative? It's just kind of like, well, my grandfather was that way, and my mother was that way, and I'm that way. It's just part of our family history, you know. We're just negative people. Hey, God wants to change that for you. He doesn't want you to be negative. What's Paul say here? We read this a lot. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, are lovely, are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let your mind dwell on these things. You be the one who sees the positive when the bus breaks down on the side of the highway with 50 kids. Boy, I can think of a whole bunch of negative stuff, can't you? Amen. But did you hear these young people? Did you hear? I heard, was it 2 or 3 of them said, hey, one of the coolest things was the bus breaking down. I say, well, that's weird. Yeah, God's called you to be weird. God's called you not to live like the world because you're going to see the positive. Tim talked about, hey, listen, if that hadn't happened, then this wouldn't happen, and this wouldn't happen. See how you live your life? See, that's how it's easy to be full of joy, because God's more in charge than I think He is. And even when bad things happen, I say, Lord, what is it you're going to do through this thing? Because if you're not careful, I'll tell you what, you could be sitting on that bus, and you can get the joy just sucked right out of your life when that bus went to the side of the road. It's 98 degrees outside. Oh, my gosh. You have an opportunity then to dig deep and grab that joy that God has put in your life. It's not your joy, it's His joy. Amen? Amen? So watch out for the next. Here, number 5. We're going to move quickly through this. Number 5. anybody struggle with this? Disobedience. Disobedience. Did you just point at your mother? Your wife? Okay. My sin always looks worse on you than it does on me. Amen? That's right. I've got a sign in my office that says, help me to be more patient with those who choose to sin differently than me. Right? I mean, we could see other people's sin. It's this thing of obedience. What does he say here in verse 9? The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You want peace in your life? Just start obeying what you already know God wants you to do. Hey, listen, it's not magic. I don't need any new revelation. I just need to do what I already know. How about you? I heard a preacher say the other day, you need to do the do's. You need to do the do's. All the things that God said to do, just do them. And I believe the peace of God is close behind. Oh, you see, if I do the do's, does that mean I'm going to be prosperous? I'm not going to have any problems and life is going to be wonderful and my children are going to glow in the dark and it's just going to be great, man. It's just going to be awesome. No. But God will give you peace. He'll give you joy, even in the midst of struggles and difficulties. Joy. What about number 6? This is the big one. Man, I'm guilty of all this stuff. How about you? Discontentment. Discontent. Listen to this. Listen. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. How many of you like that scripture? You got that on your refrigerator? You don't have that one up there, do you? It's the next verse you have on there, but not that one, right? Well, what is he talking about? He says, listen, I have learned. Contentment is learned. He said, I'm going to give you experiences that are going to teach you how to be content. I'm going to teach you how to be in need. How many of you are looking forward to that? Yeah, I'm looking forward to that lesson. How many of you have been there too long? Say, I'm ready to move on from this lesson, right? I'm in need. He said, I have learned to be in need, but I've also learned to abound. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Listen to this. 1 Timothy, you believe this before I read it? Well, this is tough. This is going to be tough. 1 Timothy 6, he says, there are those who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. He says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now here's the hard one. It's verse 8. You're going to receive this? Here it is. I got to tell you, I struggle with this verse. With having food and clothing, we shall be content. How many of you got food? Who's got clothing? Are you content? Oh, no. We're probably like John Rockefeller, who was asked, how much is enough? He said, just a little more. Just a little more. It's never enough, is it? We were talking the other day when we first bought our house. We were so in love with our house. It was so wonderful, beautiful. Oh, you live in a parsonage all your life. You got your own place. We just loved our little house. But then we went to somebody else's house. And we came home. I wish we had their house. What happened? I'll guarantee you, discontentment will always take your joy. Joyful people are contented people. What's it mean? What do you mean to be content? You mean you can't have things? No, it's not about that. You can have things. It's when things have you. That's the problem. See, everything you own, you are a manager, not an owner. We were talking about this, Gary, weren't we, over breakfast Saturday at Village Inn, which you can come if you want, 7:30 every Saturday. You can be there. But we were talking about, you know, hey, what's our attitude about these things? We're managers. It's not like being an owner. I'm not the owner. God owns everything I have. I hold it with an open hand. And the spirit of contentment means that I appreciate what God has done. Now, God might increase me, but he will do it from a place of contentment. That I appreciate. I am so grateful and thankful for what God has given to me. Do you understand how blessed you are? You are, by the global economy, you are the 1%. Most of the world would love to have what you have. You've got a car to drive. How many of you got more than one car? Holy man. I remember when we were in Russia, man, to have a car was a big deal. Now, tires, that was another matter. Woo. I remember when we brought the Russians here to America, they couldn't get over that you could pull into a tire place and just get four new tires. I remember stopping at a place and Yuzhin got out and he was rubbing the tires. Because he said, we get one tire. You get one tire at a time. I think, I can't even imagine this. I can't even imagine. We took them to the Dillon store, you know, they 24/7. You can go. They thought it was temporary. They thought it was just something special. They didn't realize. Listen, we are so. It's incredible. And yet, where's our joy? We should be the most joyful people on the planet Earth because God has blessed us. It's the spirit of discontentment that will suck your joy away every single time. Contentment is a joyful heart. And last, number 7, lack of dependence. Lack of dependence. Self-reliance is the greatest enemy to joy. Listen to me. Look at it carefully. Here's the one you have on your refrigerator. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do I have a witness? Woo, I like that verse. Yes, sir, I'm going to quote that. I'm going to confess that. But do it in context. In context, it's about contentment. I can be abased through Christ. I can abound through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Notice, it didn't say with Christ. See, you think, oh, I'm just going to invite Jesus to come and be a part of what I'm doing. No, it's not with Christ. It's through Christ. It's not my strength. It's His strength. Amen? That's what God's calling us to. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, he said to Paul. And my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I close with this story. You know her well, don't you? You need to have a picture of her somewhere in your house to remind. This is Johnny Erickson. She was paralyzed at a young age in a diving accident. And wow, what God has done with her life. Some of you probably have seen her paintings that she does. She travels around. She's a speaker. But I was drawn to this. Someone came up to her once and said, Joni, how is it that you have so much joy? This is what she said. She said, Ken, her husband, Ken leaves for work at 7 a.m. A dear friend of mine comes by every morning to bathe me, to brush my hair, to brush my teeth, and to dress me. How many of you brushed your own teeth this morning? Did you thank God for that? I didn't. How many were able to dress yourself? I can dress myself, although I have to have my wife inspect it, but still. Is this okay? No, you need to go back in there again. You need to change it. But I can dress myself. And then she said this. I ask God every morning to give me His strength. I ask God, and I quote, may I have your smile today? And then she said, I spend the rest of my day giving His smile to others straight from heaven. She said this, the weaker we are, the more we lean on God, and the stronger we discover Him to be. Maybe our problem is we're too self-dependent. I mean, if Joni can have joy, I should be able to have joy. She said this, deny your weakness and you will never realize God's strength in you. Deny your weakness and you will never realize God's strength in you. It is through our weakness that God's power is perfected. Amen? Some of you forgot to roll up your windows, didn't you? Okay. That'll suck your joy away. This morning, as we close our service, we're going to come to the table. This is the table of joy. I want you to notice something about this table. Everything we talked about this morning is taken care of at the table. Conflict? At the table. In Corinthians, it says when you come to the table, you know, if you have aught against a brother, you go take care of it. You can take care of it at the table. Lack of grace and patience, it's all at the table, isn't it? Anxiety, it's at the table. You bring your cares to the table and you roll them over on him, for he cares for you. The negative, this is a positive table, isn't it? This is a positive. All the positive here. Wow, what has God done for me? It's marvelous. It's incredible. Why am I down in the molly grubs when the God of the universe loves me and paid the, he took my place and took care of all my sin? What's my problem? What's disobedience? It's at the table. Discontentment? Bring it to the table. It's at the table that we find thanksgiving and praise and awareness of God's presence. And when you're aware of his presence, there's fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Why is this so important? Why does the enemy want it? Because he doesn't want you to be strong. You're going to be strong in your weakness because of God. Awareness of God's presence. It is a place of dependence that we come. Joni Erickson knows about it. Why don't we know about it? I still think of Amy this morning. The loss of her husband. Wasn't supposed to be that way. 5 weeks ago it all started. How can this be? I have more questions than answers. I want you to know. I do. This family's been through so much. I think, God, have you ever looked at a family and go, how do they do it? How do they go through all that? I mean, they got a son with a disappearing bone disease. Amy's had cancer. Bill just went through treatment. No one thought this would happen, and now here we are without him. I just can't even imagine it. But I noticed as I sat with Amy yesterday, I sensed the joy of the Lord in her life. Even though she wasn't very happy, there was something about God's presence there that made her strong. I want that. Do you want that? You're going to get it in his presence. So I want to invite you to the table today, and we're going to dismiss after we come. If you're new here, we come down the center aisle. You'll be able to go to either table. You take the bread, dip it in the cup, and take it. It's God's gift to you. And it's what made it possible for you to abide in him. And that's where we get our joy. Amen. So today we're going to come to the table of joy. And if you're on empty today, God's going to fill you up. He wants to fill you up. And he wants you to stay full. He wants you to stay full. And the way you stay full is you stay in his presence. Amen. God's going to do it. I'm not saying bad things aren't going to happen to you. I'm not saying that life is just going to be a bed of roses. Because I'm guaranteeing you, Jesus already said no. He said in this life you're going to have trouble. But then what did he say? Be of, really? What's he talking about? Joy. He says, stand in your joy, even in the trouble. It's going to make you strong. I want that today. So if you're here, after we take of the table, you'll be dismissed to go. But we'll be here to pray. And if you need healing in your body, you have a need, you want somebody just to agree with you on, maybe you're past. I had somebody come up in first service, said, I'm not just on empty. I'm on the side of the road. I'm out of gas. I'm stuck. I mean, that's as low as you go. All right. Well, you know, if you're in that place, I can't think of a better place to be than the body of Christ, to come and let God fill up your tank again with his joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your provision. We come now to this table and we partake of the bread, which is your body that was broken for us. And we remember, we take the cup. We know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But your blood was shed, and there is remission of sin. And that is enough for us today to praise you for all eternity. And we celebrate that today. We bring all these obstacles to the table, and we leave them here. And we leave with your joy that will remain in us, that our joy may be full. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you come.